thank you for joining us for today's message. We are so encouraged to know that God is using the ocean to impact your life through the ministry of the Word. Knowing that your life is being transformed is exactly why we exist. As our vision says, we exist to know Jesus and make Him known. So sit back, relax, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your life through this message.
Today, I want to take your attention to the book of Haggai. When's the last time you read the book of Haggai? Probably January 2016. Go to the book of Haggai, chapter 1. You know, it's not one of those that normally pop up in your devotionals. But for me, it's a very powerful book of Scripture. Haggai chapter 1, and we're just going to begin reading at verse 1. It says, in the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jozadak, the high priest. So the word of God is coming to the prophet and the high priest. Anytime the word of God came to the prophet or the high priest, God wanted to speak to his children. These aren't details you just brush over because you don't know the names. Although we have a tendency at times, if we don't know the names, we just hurry up and get through it. But understand, this sets the stage of understanding that God's voice is being given to his people through the high priest and through the prophet. It says, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come to rebuild the Lord's house. How many times have we put off building the church? How many times have we as individuals said, I don't have time for that? When pastor asks us to do this, or to get involved in this, or to be a part of this, our response is, well, I don't have time to do that. Maybe next time, not this time. It says, and the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? You see, you got to understand, this is a time where the Jews have returned back to Jerusalem after what we know as the Great Diaspora, where they were all taken captive and thrown all over the place, and the Lord is bringing them back into their hometown and to where they're from, and they begin to work and they begin to build, and for 2 years they worked and they built the temple. That took them a while to get there. How many of you know it takes a while to get a large group of people to do anything? They were there for a couple of years before they started working. Then they started working for about 2 years, and then they stopped. They had built the foundation for the temple. They had even rebuilt the altar, but they had stopped working. And where this story starts is about 18 years after they have gotten there. So they've been stalled out for a while. They weren't doing anything. They started out great, but then they laid an egg. Kind of like Man U, if you're a soccer fan. They started out really good, and then they just laid an egg, and it's time for them to build. Somebody just say to me, I see you back there. I see you back there. Ay, 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 anyway. They started off really great, then they just stopped. They quit working. How many of you have heard that phrase, it's not how well you start, but how well you finish? So when we look at this story, we might be quick to judge these Israelites. But how many of us are not building our own church? Let's keep reading. Verse 5 says, now this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. I think if there's a phrase I want you to underline today or to be cognizant of, it's that. Be careful or give careful thought to your ways. Look at your neighbor. Say, think about it. So think about it. Now look up again. Say, no, really, think about it. Says, you have planted much but harvested little. You eat but you never have enough. You drink but you never have your fill. You put on clothes but you are not warm. You earn wages only to put them in a purse with holes in it. That's your story. Don't raise your hand. Just leave it there. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. When it's repeated in Scripture, hello, hello. Give careful thought to your ways. He says, go up into the mountains and bring down the timber and build my house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. For you expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. You expected me to do all of this, but I have not done it. What you brought home, I blew away. Why? Declares the Lord Almighty. Because my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you is busy with your own house. You're too busy for me. You want me to bless what you're not willing to give. You want to focus on yourself and expect me to bless what you're focused on. It says, therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew and the earth its crops. For I called for a drought on the fields and the mountains, on the grain, on the new wine, the olive oil, and everything else in the ground, on people and livestock and all the labor of your hands. It's such a statement by the Lord. I caused a drought. I control the fields. I control the skies. I control everything. And the Lord's trying to let them understand, I am in control and you're not. You think you're in control, and you think you're picking and choosing how things are going to turn out. But the only thing that you're determining is whether or not the hand of the Lord is going to be upon you or not upon you. You get a choice to serve my purpose or to serve your purpose. My purpose will come with blessings, but yours will come without. This is what he's saying. Verse 12 says, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jozadak, and the high priest, the whole remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent them. And the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord. I am with you, declares the Lord. You see, they stopped working. Why did they stop working? Why do we stop working? Why do we not start working when it comes to the church? What is it that keeps 2/3 of the church from engaging in the ministry of the church? Well, we look at Scripture, it says that the land was desolate. The work was hard. They lacked resources.
The crops were suffering. The enemies threatened them. I like this one. They remembered easier times in Babylon. You know, it's always bad when you go back to your times of being captive and think that they're easier than they are now. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. If the grass isn't green where you are, start watering it. Stop looking at somebody else's yard. Start watering your lawn. Their grass is green because somebody watered it. You want to praise the works of their hands, but you don't want to be involved in the works. That's what Jesus is saying. It's what the Lord is saying to his people. You are so focused on you, but you're not focused on me. And because of that, I have withheld my blessing. And if we're going to be real honest this morning, there's probably a large percentage of you who, if you were to look in the mirror and be honest, you would say, you know, Pastor, that is my story. I am so busy doing my thing. I'm so busy doing what's important to me, I don't have time to serve in the church. If you knew my schedule, you just wouldn't understand. I am so busy, Pastor, that I cannot help in preschool for an hour on a Sunday morning. I'm too busy. My life is so busy. I have so much going on, Pastor, that I can't even give 30 minutes to greet people at church on Sunday. You don't understand. But Pastor, my workload is so heavy at church, there's no way that I can help serve coffee and tea for an hour on Sunday. I just can't do it. I'm too busy. I don't have time. I'm too busy to help build the church. I'm glad I can come to church. I'm glad there's a church to come to. I'm excited for the one-fourth of the people or the one-third of the people that work their tail ends off, so I have a great church to come to. And I can walk away as I come to the ocean. Thankful for that, but Pastor, I can't help build the Lord's church. I'm too busy with my own life. Now, I know that's hard preaching, but this is essential for us as followers of Jesus, for us who are part of a church, whether you're a part of a church here, there, or everywhere. It doesn't matter to me what church you're a part of. If you're not really a part of building the church, you're missing God's blessings. Period. And this is that story, and this is not me being mad or getting on to you. I'm trying to help you understand that as followers of Jesus, we think we've got some things figured out, but the reality is if we'll look back in the Old Testament, we'll see some things that are a reality. And you can say, well, Pastor Jimmy, this isn't Old Testament, this is New Testament. We like to claim that, but Jesus didn't die for you to work in the church. Jesus died so you wouldn't go to hell. We still have to build the church. Yeah, two separate issues. So, I mean, if you want to argue Old Testament, New Covenant, Old Covenant, come see me about 3 o'clock today. I'll talk with you all night long. But the reality is there are principles of church building throughout Scripture. And if we're a follower of Christ or if we belong to God, then we have a responsibility to build His church. That's Old Testament and New Testament. I mean, I'll get into some New Testament next week for all of you people who are sitting there going, eh. Come next week. I got the message for you. But I love our church. I love our church. I love the ocean. I love the ocean. And I still believe the best days of this church are ahead of us and not behind us. I believe that what lies ahead is greater than what we've walked through. And we've walked through some really great times, man. I mean, we've had some fun. We've seen a lot of people come to Jesus. God has blessed us. We've seen spiritual growth. We've seen numerical growth. We've seen a lot of cool stuff, and God's been good, but He's not done yet. I mean, we've built the foundation. We may have even built the altar, but there's still more to build. Who's going to build that? We are. If we don't build it, who builds it? There were no secret builders coming in to build the temple in the Old Testament when the children of God took a break. There are no secret builders going to come in and build the ocean if we just want to take a break. We have to build the church. But how, Pastor Jimmy? How do we maintain God's blessings on us as we build the church? Well, I think verse 8 says it all. And if you'll remember, we talked about this pretty heavily, and I'm going to talk about it again. There's three things that the voice of God told the children of Israel. Three things to help maintain the building of the church and the blessing of God. Number one was this: go up into the mountains. Number two, bring down the timber. Number three, build the church. You got to build the house. You got to build the house. Let's break that down. I broke this down into three terms for me. I'm the word guy. I like words. If I was as crafty as Boope, I might be able to put it all out in music, but I'm not. I just write it in a journal. But I broke it into three parts. Number one, we got to ascend the mountains. Number two, we got to attend the work. And number three, we got to assemble the church. Amen. Ascend the mountain. We got to go up on the mountain. What does that mean? Well, if you look throughout Scripture, when people ascended the hill, they were trying to get into God's presence. There was a spiritual drive to hear the voice of God. We got to, as believers, have God encounters. When is the last time you truly climbed the mountain and met with God? When is the last time you truly had a God encounter where God spoke to you and changed the course of everything for you? We've got to hear the voice of God. That's why we started out 2019 with a sermon series titled Whisper. And the importance of leaning into our conversations with God. You remember that? We have to hear God's voice if we're going to grow God's church. So we have to climb the mountain. We have to have spiritual encounters with God. We've got to go from glory to glory to glory. We have to have those times in our lives. If there's no mountaintop experience, then there's definitely going to be failure in the valley. Because it's what we experience on the mountaintop that gets us through those times. Are you climbing the mountain? I want to climb the mountain every day. I want to hear God's voice every day. I want to get right where He's at and lean into Him and hear His voice every day of my life. I want to climb the mountain. I don't just want to. I need to. I need to. For my family, I need to. I got to hear God's voice for my family. I'm the husband. I'm the father. I'm the priest of my home. I have to hear God's voice for my family. That's not my wife's responsibility. That's mine. I'm the priest of my home. That's my God-appointed position for my family. I have to climb the mountain to hear what God has for my family, what God has for my marriage, what God has for my children. I have to climb the mountain. I have to climb the mountain if I'm going to fulfill God's purpose in my life. If I don't hear His voice, if I don't encounter Him, how am I going to know? How are you going to know unless you climb the mountain and hear his voice. We have to climb the mountain. Corporate encounters with God are crucial. We don't just have to climb the mountain. Sometimes we have to climb the mountain together. How do you climb the mountain together? What's the biggest way to climb the mountain together? Pray together. I can't push this culture enough. If we don't pray together, we will not stay together. So where are you the first Saturday of every month? Where are you on Wednesday nights? We closed out Wednesday night prayer this week with five people, maybe seven, I don't know. I know it was a day of rain, lots of rain. But I'm telling you, church, there's got to be a spirit of prayer in the house. But Pastor Jimmy, you don't understand my week. I know, right? We're all busy. Snap. Somewhere we got to get unbusy here so we can be busy about the Father's business. Maybe you got to say no to something. Because if we're not about the Father's business, we don't have any right expecting Him to be about ours. But that's what He's saying here in this scripture. You weren't about my business, I'm not going to be about yours. You think you got it all under control because you're making decisions and you're making money, 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 money. You're building a future. The problem is you don't control your future. Trust me, I know that. Well, if I haven't learned that in the last couple of months. In a man's heart, he plans his course. But the Lord directs his steps. We don't have the future in control. We think we do. But anything can happen, trust me. Anything can happen. That's why it's important to keep going to the mountain, not just as an individual, but even together. We have to have encounters with God. Seasons of prayer, discipleship, fasting, worship, seeking God. We must resolve to climb the mountain lest the church dissolve today. If we do not climb the mountain, the church will dissolve. The second thing, bring down the timber. We must bring what we've received from Him. What we've received from Him isn't just for us, but our mountaintop experiences are for the good of everyone. What God does in my life isn't just for me. It's for His kingdom. When God blesses me, it's not just for me. There's a purpose for the blessing. There's a purpose for the blessing. And when I go to the mountaintop and I receive from the Lord, I have a responsibility to come down and to bring what I've received. If we're not going, we're not receiving anything. But what do we do with what we do receive? Do we hoard it? Put it in our pockets and just leave it for our own good? Or do we share it to build the church? To build the kingdom. Climb up the mountain, bring down the timber. You see, the reality is when we seek Him, He speaks. And He prepares us, and He equips us, and He leads us, and He guides us. He begins to provide for us. But it's not just for us. It's not just for us. It's for the kingdom. And the last thing is we have to build the house.
The Lord instructed us to build the church so that he might take pleasure in it and be honored. And I love that the voice of the Lord came to the people of Israel. And you can read it in verse 12, their response. The whole remnant obeyed the voice of the Lord. The whole remnant obeyed the voice of the Lord. Verse 13, the people feared the Lord. There was a humility. There was an obedience. They maintained their awe of God. They respected him. Their lives honored him. And the Lord said, I am with you. Why? Because obedience plus humility equals the Lord's presence. What we do matters. The position of our hearts matter. Our obedience and humility equal God's presence. And I love what happens when they begin to respond to the Lord, when they begin to obey. If you keep reading on down into verse 14. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of the whole remnant of the people. They came and began to work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month. When they became obedient and when they humbled themselves, the Lord stirred their hearts. I say this all the time as a dad. Any parent ever hear your kid say, well, I don't feel like it. Hey, I need you to do this. I don't feel like it. Any parent ever heard that? Huh? You know what I'm talking about? Maybe you're a teacher. Maybe you're a parent. Maybe you have people that you're over at work and you ask them to do something and they just say, well, I don't really feel like it. Well, can I tell you, you don't have to feel like it to do it. Right actions create right attitudes. And my boys tell me, I don't feel like it. I don't care what you feel like. You're going to feel a lot worse if you don't do what I tell you. But if you just go do what I tell you, your heart will be all right. Trust me. Right actions create right attitudes. You don't always have to feel like it. But our feelings should not dictate our obedience. We do it because we know it's right, not because it feels right. It's not always going to feel right. We're not always going to feel like it. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't do it just because we don't feel like it. I am certain beyond a doubt that my mom and dad did not feel like getting up and going to work every day of their life at 6 o'clock in the morning. For over 40 years, both of them. Every day. I'm sure there were days my mama said, I'm so tired. I don't feel like it. But she got up every day and went to work, which is why I am where I am today. Because of her obedience, I'm here. Even though she didn't feel like it. I'm sure there's days I don't feel like it. I got news for you. Pastors don't feel like it sometimes. Am I right, Lily? Sometimes we just don't feel like it, do we, buddy? People just don't understand. See, you don't understand. Lily was at church all day yesterday getting ready for the Christmas spectacular that you're going to bring all your friends to and say, woo, in my church, cool. But your church is only cool because somebody's spending every Saturday of her life here from like October to December. Even when she doesn't feel like it. Well, that's her job. That's what she gets paid to do. No, it ain't. And if that's the deal, then we're going to turn around and look at you and take a look at your job performance. Mm-hmm. 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 Nothing like flipping the script on people, Chris. It changes everything.
I'm telling you. It's like when your boys, I'm using my kids because they're just, it's easy. Boys get into an argument and they come in the living room and mom and I stop them and put them on the couch, start talking to them about their fight, and we start zeroing in on one of them. You. For like 10 minutes we're talking and the other one's going, yeah. And then all of a sudden, now you. It's always easy when we're talking about somebody else. You know what I'm saying? But we all have a job to do. If the church is going to be blessed, if the church is going to be a church that honors God and God takes pleasure in it, we all have to be about the Father's business. It's essential for the ocean to be successful, for the ocean to fulfill God's purpose for the ocean. We all have to go up on the mountain. We all have to bring down timber, and we all have to build the house. Now see, there's such an overwhelming majority that says, amen. But it's such a minority that does the work. Why is that? I mean, can I just do something real fast? Just sometimes visuals are best, right? If you help set up this morning stand. Lucinda, you put that Christmas tree up. I don't know why you're sitting down. I'm going to make a point here. Now, all of you said amen. Amen. But if these guys wouldn't have been here at 6 o'clock this morning doing their thing, we wouldn't have this. Do you see my point? Are you getting that? It's a visual. Everybody wants, I didn't say sit down. Everybody wants to say amen because that's the right thing to say. Oh, preach it, preacher. But who does the work? Saying amen is just agreeing. It's not working. Only a fraction does the work. My prayer is this, is that 6 months from now, Dr. Brenda, a year from now, the whole dadgum sanctuary standing when I ask this question. That's how it should be. We should all be working to build the church. We should all be doing our part to build the church. If you're on the worship team, stand. No, stay standing, all of you. Keep standing, Bill. Keep standing. If you're on the worship team, stand. Because you're part of this too. Do you understand? We all have to go up to the mountain. We all have to bring down what we've learned to build the church. This isn't enough to get us where we are. We had a long meeting with our staff on Tuesday, talking about our church and the strengths and weaknesses, and did a partial SWOT analysis, and we looked at the internal part of our church, and we've got to look at the external part of our church, but we just looked at the internal part of our church, and I looked at them, I said, you know what, things look really good right now, and if we all come together for a meeting, we can look at Sundays, and Sunday was awesome, woohoo, and it was, but there are so many things that need to be addressed. There's so many things that we need to do. Well, Pastor, we're bigger than we've ever been. We got more going on than we've ever had. Yeah, but I don't want to be a church of 1,000. I want to be a church of 2,000. And so if we're going to be a church of 2,000, we got to start acting like a church of 2,000, which means there's work to do. Does that make sense? We're not going to get there until we get there. And this isn't going to get us there. So I want everyone who is standing right now to sit down. And everyone who is sitting, I want you to stand up. looks totally different now, doesn't it? The sanctuary has totally transformed. We need you. We need you to go up on the mountain. Some of you do. Some of the people that are standing right now, if I need spiritual advice, I'm coming to you. But are you going to bring it down? And are you going to build the church? That's my question. Because that's what happened in the Old Testament when God looked at the children of Israel and said, "Why are you not building my house? But you're building yours. My hand of blessing has been withdrawn from you because you're not building my house. You're just focused on yours." Give careful thought to your ways. Give careful thought to your ways. You toil and you toil and you toil and you toil, but yet you never get where you're wanting to go. Why? Because you think you control it. We don't control the blessing. We control our obedience. God pours out the blessing. Amen. You can be seated. So my push for you is this. Go up on the mountain, bring down the timber, and build the church. Every one of us together can build this church. And I'll close with this. If you go to chapter 2, verse 8, it says, "The silver is mine, the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty, and in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord." This is a passage that I go to every time I think about our church. When we moved from Regent to over here, I was like, "Well, the gold is yours, the silver is yours, Lord. I don't know how, but you do. We're just going to be obedient. I don't know how we're going to remodel this building, but we are, God. You're going to be obedient." And then all of a sudden, there were some people, spearheaded by Lucinda, who said, "We're going to raise money." And she became obedient. And she brought down the timber. And she started bringing down the timber. And she got other people to bring down the timber with her. And then there became a lot of people who started bringing down the timber. And we raised, what, 52, 54 million? I don't know what it was, some outlandish number. Why? Because somebody went up the mountain, came down with the timber, and started building the church, and that's why we are where we are today. So where's the next Lucinda? It takes one. It takes one. Lily, when I first got here, no one was leading the worship team, just kind of Lily. I said, "Lily, I need you to lead." She's like, "I don't know." I said, "I do know." And we fought, didn't we, Lily, just a little bit. "I can't." "Yes, you can." "No, I can't." "Yes, you can." "Pastor, I'm not." "Yes, you are." I didn't take no for an answer. It's a little bullheaded. But now look at our worship team. Look at where we are. Why? Because one young lady was willing to climb the mountain and come down with the timber. And she hasn't stopped building since. And I could go on and on and on with so many of you who have done that. But we can't stop. We can't stop. We have to keep going up the mountain, coming down, and building the house. It's essential for the future of our church. Why? Because the glory of the latter will be greater than the glory of the former. And we have to prepare for that. Amen? Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word. God, would you stir our hearts? Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. Stir it up in our hearts, Lord. A passion for you. Father, I pray today that you would allow this message to sink deep inside of us. That, God, we have a responsibility. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility, Lord, to build the house. Help us to see it. Help us to understand it. So that you might be honored and take pleasure in the ocean. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's word. If you want to know more about us, please visit our website, www.theoceanindar.org. And if you happen to be in Dar es Salaam, Tanzania, please visit us at the Little Theater in Oyster Bay, where we meet every Sunday at 8 a.m., 9:30 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. God bless you.